Well, welcome everyone to our Wednesday evening service. Thank you, Jim, for your assistance, and thank you to all who assisted in the creation of this evening. We are beginning our services with a prayer, and I have chosen a video that is a hymn that speaks to needing connection with the Savior, and I would ask you to think in terms of what we were speaking about on Sunday, which is that the need to connect to the creative urge, to the urge of love, is what this song is about. How to be totally in the moment, conscious and connected. So I turn this over to you, Jim, to play that.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like mine can peace afford. I need every hour, straight down nearby, temptation to lose their power when thou art nigh. I need Savior, I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come.
I love it. That passionate desire to be in communion with the Spirit of love, to be available both to life and for life to know we're dependable and available. That's what that song represents to me. I have here a quote from Oren this Sunday. There is steadiness that is unmoved except by the evolutionary urge. The urge to express, the urge to become, the urge to manifest, the urge to love, to be love and expression, to manifest itself, the urge to live, the urge to create, the urge to have a world that thrives. And these words from David: if it's true that our world is being created out of our thought, which can carry the pattern of universal intelligence, then thinking becomes a very significant factor in the human experience. And that's what I am considering with you here this morning, or whatever time it is where you are. I'm considering thinking as a spiritual practice. I'm going to turn this over to Kiahi. Over to you, Kiahi, to expand on these quotes.
Thank you, Jane. Welcome all. The urge of love, to be love and expression, to manifest itself, urge to live, create, to have a world that thrives. And I know we've all felt this. And yet sometimes we can't put words on it. We can't put clothes on it. We can't put a form to it, what we're feeling. Maybe the situation, maybe what's moving, maybe the people around are distracting us from allowing this brilliance, this urge to come through us. Another quote that Jane had on the slides there was from David, and where he realized how he'd been playing small regarding his own thinking. He had to shuck off tendency to dull his own brilliance down. And I want to share my reflections on these things with you today. So I've been looking a lot about numbers and spreadsheets and with all the what's happening or not happening in our world today with revenue and things. And it's reminded me of times where stages in my life where I've been an entrepreneur in various ways, wholesale representing local manufacturers in Hawaii to distributors, Costco, Kmart, military exchanges, from the store to the buyer, regional buyers, and starting a retail chain with three other people, and ended up having three stores and a corporate office, a buyer position, a buyer analyst position, an open to buy program, which I created every step of the way with a team of people, with training and things like that. Numbers, I'm a spreadsheet nerd. I love numbers. I love seeing the truth in them. And I've realized that now, being here at Sunrise Ranch, working with David and others so closely around numbers. And I realized this week that I'm looking at it from a very different place than I used to. So a lot of you know that I let go of a lot of things 10, 11 years ago now, materialistic things, material things that brought value to me, that I thought, value to my life, to who I am. I gained them in a very thoughtful way with my mind, but my heart was not in collaboration at all. Doesn't mean I wasn't a loving person, a caring person. But I look at numbers now in service. I look at numbers now and how can my world, the numbers, the world that these numbers represent, how can I assist in the thriving of that world? So what have I had to shuck away, you know? Well, for one thing, it's the value of material things, that brings value to my life. No, my life is the value. Ha, the breath of life is the ultimate value. It's what I make of it, make with it, create with it, allow to come through me. There's interesting things that can happen when you allow you lean into what's wanting to come through, the brilliance that's wanting to come through. It's lighter. Even heavy things, because there are always heavy things, seem lighter. Because this does not move me. I am that I am. It is perfect already. I'm given this life, this opportunity, this situation, this conversation. And what am I going to do with it? How am I going to dance with it? What am I going to bring to it? Very different than what am I going to get from it? And I was very good at getting, trust me. But there was this black hole in my heart, longing for more. And I didn't know what that was. And a lot of times, I was alone in that thinking, though there were other working shareholders that had their, let's see, mortgage online, personal loans, as like myself. But when we create from a place of service, from a place of love, from a place of how can we make our worlds thrive, we all take ownership at a much higher level, much higher level. And the burden is light. And the creativity, the gifts just flow. We had our monthly managers meeting yesterday here at Sunrise Ranch. And we got to share of what's moving in our worlds. There's a lot moving. But because there were 24 of us, 25 of us together, so much can be moved. So much can be held from a place of love and understanding, a place of giving, support. My dog Piper wants to get in this. I never felt that any business that I was part of or part owner of or did my own, because it was all from a self-centered place, though I thought I was helping others. No. The true help, the true place of brilliance is from love, and it's when your heart and your mind are in collaboration. Just wanting to give because that's all I can do. That's all I'm wanting to do. So thank you for sharing in my experience of this. I know we all know what we're talking about here. And I invite Jane to take it from here.
Thank you, Kiahi. I want to reread these quotes because I went through them quickly thinking you could read them. Oren said, there is a steadiness that is unmoved except by the evolutionary urge, the urge to express, the urge to become, the urge to manifest, the urge to love, to be love in expression, to manifest itself, the urge to live, the urge to create, the urge to have a world that thrives. I think Kiahi so beautifully just encapsulated the difference between creating a world that's thriving because of the way you are being in it and how your thought is stimulated by the current of love. And David said, if it's true that our world is being created out of our thought, which can carry the pattern of universal intelligence, then thinking becomes a very significant factor in the human experience. And that's what I'm considering with you here. I'm considering thinking as a spiritual practice. This is so relevant to not only what Kiahi just opened up, but relevant to anyone who is deciding to consciously be present in their world. My experience is over all the many years I've been being disciplined with what I am doing in the spirit of love, the most important thing that the discipline has brought me to is, what am I paying attention to before I open my mouth? And what am I paying attention to before I engage in creation? I've said this many times before, that when you leave a room, how do people feel? Do they feel like your brilliance blessed them, or do you feel like you imposed something on them because you had a great idea and were determined to convince them you were right? The urge of life, the urge of love, is needed in every moment to be thinking about what is trying to be emerging in life's plan. In that beautiful hymn, "I need thee every moment," it's like, I need to be present every moment because life is depending on me to think thoughts that are consonant with what life has in its plan. If I am part of that design, if I am intricately involved in the universal pattern, I can be the greatest loving conduit of what's trying to emerge. Not imposing, but co-creating, having a means of blending. I've had so many opportunities in my life where I know the brilliance that moved through me was a collective victory. It had very little to do with my own heart and brain, except for the fact that they were surrendered to something much larger than my own thoughts and my own feelings. Our personalities often get in the way, so that we stop thinking and we continue to rely on the habitual ways in which we are in the world. Something is longing to be born by all the conscious people who are paying attention to what's emerging in the universal pattern. Letting love have its way. I can say I've used this quote many times, that in the end, God wins. Does seem a little cliche, but life and this planet are an emerging reality of which we get to play our part when we consciously allow our thought and our heart to be open to what is emerging that is brilliant. I don't know anyone who didn't have someone in their life when they were younger tell them an opinion about them that was probably not complimentary. I have met a few people who said their parents were perfect and never shut them down. But even if your parents were perfect, there is often a teacher who thought your brilliance needed to be squashed because you were showing off, or your brilliance was not allowing everybody else to shine. Stifling our thinking so that we fit into a culture that is destructive, dishonest, distorted, unhealthy, and dying is quite a bizarre choice, and yet we do it all the time. We want to be loved, we want to be liked, we want to fit in. We don't want to look like a show-off. I know I have friends who I'm always saying, how many times do I have to tell you how great you are? And I say that because to me it's difficult to receive it for myself. And I wonder, when someone's brilliant, do they actually need me to tell them, or is it just wonderful to hear? It can be wonderful to hear, but we have a habit of thinking that acknowledging each other's brilliance means we're building up their ego, and that's not what I'm talking about. This urge that Oren spoke about that just wants to be love. Love wants to be itself through the human being that we are. That is our Savior. Bless me now, the Savior of my soul, which is love, which is the source of the reality of my being, which is the source of my life current in each moment. I know that being part of the emissaries since I was a young woman was a compulsion, because I touched something that said to me, human beings are designed to do this together. It struck me in a way that made no sense to my mind because I'd never seen human beings doing it together. But I knew it was not only possible, I sensed it was in the design of how we were made as a body of beings. Humankind is one way to describe it. Man is another way. It ends up feeling sexist to some people. But man, to me, is a word that represents all of humanity together, which is a solid unit. Humanity sometimes gets divided up into its parts much more easily than just saying man. And I am part of that. You're part of that. But the idea of the COVID virus coming around and forcing separation so that we might actually know unity is the way life works. Life is using its brilliance to remind us that social distancing cannot separate us from each other. We can still think together, love together, create together, worship together, be in a place where that urge is welcomed through all the little screens in front of me, share attunement with our friends, hold a sacred holy space, holding it for ourselves first so that we can acknowledge there are things in this temple that do not belong. There are thoughts that I've held on to that are toxic to me. They're self-abuse. And that abuse usually gets spewed into my world, and that means to you at times. And it doesn't mean that I'm saying ugly things. I'm just saying old things. I'm saying things that have passed away, and I'm trying to either resuscitate them or hold on to them for some sense of security or familiarity. I'm not talking about the fact that at times we repeat our stories and things like that. I'm mostly speaking about the fact that we are not allowing the juiciness of our brilliance, of the way we love, to penetrate the field that we're right in the middle of. You know, I'm by myself in my office right now or in my house, yes, with my cats, but it's not the same as being with people. But my creative field really hasn't changed a whole lot because I'm still with you. I look at you, I see you, I'm in love with you. I am knowing the currency of your intelligence, the adoration we have for each other, willing to be on a computer looking at our family, and then going outside and looking at the larger family here in this part of the world where it's spring. I know in other parts of the world, in Australia, South Africa, it's, as Annalisa said yesterday, the leaves are turning brown and making a beautiful carpet. But you can't go outside and not feel the largeness of the world of our creative field that's right present with us. So I have another quote here from David. So this is what David said also last Sunday. I realized how I'd been playing small when it came to my own thinking, that I was actually capable of much more than I allowed myself to experience. And I've found that I've had to shuck off a tendency to dull down my own brilliance. Each of us has a brilliance to bring to the field that is ours, to our own life experience, to our own immediate world and out beyond. And it's possible. It's possible for each of us that we've sold ourselves short, that we haven't entered that brilliance as deeply as we might. We know that there are lots of things in our culture that say, do not shine too brightly. Do not shine your light into people's eyes. I know we're not talking about overpowering anyone. We're talking about the radiant light of love that is resonant with the creative current that animates our very being, animates this planet, animates all our friends. It's possible that we haven't entered that brilliance as deeply as we might. To express a creative idea that others might not yet see or understand. To express how much we love another person for fear of looking overly loving or effusive or too extroverted or too presumptive. I was walking down the street the other day and I ran into a neighbor whose name I didn't even know, but every time I saw her when in passing, I just noticed how striking she was. And I turned myself around and I just went up to her and I said, "This might strike you as strange, but I can tell you every time I see you, you're so beautiful, you light up my day." And she just was, I mean, she didn't just go, "Oh," you know, she wasn't like flabbergasted. She just said, "Well, thank you for being so deliberate to connect." And it was such a sweet interchange. And then I found out about her that she was a teacher in the high school and things like that. And I said, "I'm just so glad you're in my neighborhood and I have the privilege of running into you on occasion." I spoke not too long ago about someone telling me that they love the way I love people. Are we afraid to tell each other how much we love the way they live? We might be. And I'm going to say part of our brilliance is to allow others to feel that their brilliance is welcomed. So we have an exercise to do in small groups of four. And Jim, if you could put that slide up. Oh, this is not the latest version, so let me read what I actually changed it to. Here it is, small groups of four. We have 16 minutes to be together. What old thoughts are you tired of thinking? What are the thoughts that you have yet to allow yourself to think? And what is the thought that is in the mind of God that is ready to be born into our collective awareness if we would but let it? So Jim's going to divide us up into groups of four for 16 minutes, and then we'll come back for the rest of our service.
Okay, here we go.
Well, thank you all. We have a little time now for sharing into the group, so keep yourself muted if you're not speaking, but the space is open to share what moved for you, what do you want to let go of, and how do you want to be brilliant from this day forward? What does the voice of God want to come through you now, tonight, or in the next few minutes?
Well, one of the things that we shared, I don't mean just shared with each other, but we shared as something that moves through us. In the end, it turned out, I think, that the voice of God coming through to the three of us would be kindness and appreciation of ourselves. That when all the energy keeps going out and out and out, this is a good thing. But then if we withhold from ourselves, then that could be where unintentional shutdowns could happen, or exhaustion, or anything that is not love moving as much through ourselves as we are moving out into the world.
I agree, Gracie. That was beautiful. Our group shared the first answer to the first question, largely had to do with thoughts of self-judgment and of comparing one's expression to other people, and is it good enough, blah, blah, blah. And the coming of the Christ is blowing that out of the water. It's just simply brilliant to be present, knowing that I am great. I am just as I am. I don't need to show off in any way to anybody. But there are these thoughts that want to be shared, and I don't know what they are yet. But let's see together, and let's encourage one another to think freely without fear. So that was what came through our group.
Well, I'm just learning that life apart from the Sunrise Ranch post office is still possible. I mean, I've been going to the post office for 13 years and spending 6 to 7 hours every day in the post office, even Saturday, part of the day Sunday. And I didn't think during this period of social isolation when I was required to vacate the post office and turn it over to someone else, that I could actually survive spiritually, emotionally, mentally even, without going to that location. But now that I've been out of it for quite a while, I'm learning that life is still possible apart from that location. I'm enjoying life in this whole new scenario. Of course, I have to go back quite often on a consulting basis for those who have replaced me. But wow, this is what life could be like in retirement. And I think I might enjoy retirement. But as I said to my group, I love the bumper sticker. When you're over the hill, your speed picks up. I'm 4 days away from my 78th birthday. My speed is picking up.
Thank you, everyone. I'm just realizing I've had a lot of time to reflect over the last 3 weeks, and I just really am ready to start singing more again. I really would like to give my gift and sing more in service, and I'm very passionate about that. So great to be on this in this service with you all this evening. Thank you.
For me, a limiting thought that I've carried for quite a while, and sometimes it's really loud and sometimes it quiets down, but it's all about in my age. Like, in the limiting belief that because I'm young, I don't have very much to say and very much to offer, that I'm not going to be received or people aren't going to take me serious. And it's funny because when I really reflect on it, especially in our small group, it was like, no one ever really said that to me. It's never really been my experience, especially at Sunrise, like never my experience here. It was like, go, like do it. You got this. And so it's really interesting to like look at that I created it and I tell myself it, and I can hear myself saying it around others sometimes that are in my age that are sharing things, and it's like, what? No. We're all so wise and we all have something to offer. And so I'm so ready to just get out of here. Yeah.
I would take the other side of that, Courtney, and say that being of age, very mature in age, that those same things are present in thinking thoughts that have no place really in our expression and our power and our place of being, that we all hold that specific place of uniqueness, and it's so beautiful. And I understand what you're saying, and I have held those beliefs because I'm a certain age. I am powerless, and that simply is just not true. So thank you.
Hear, hear, Linda. Yeah.
Well, speaking of aging, I'm in that range. I'm starting to admit the fact that I'm in that age. Like Jerry was mentioning, retirement, it's one thing to have been around long enough that you've heard all the principles and you can smile and say them, like you know what a right attitude is, whatever. But if it's just self-righteousness and repetitiveness, it's not fresh, it's not new. I think there's a tendency to say that if I were to explore some new dimension, then maybe it would be exhausting or strenuous or something. But I know that it's really exciting and light to do something brand new. So I'm looking forward to some more fireworks, some more sparklers, and some more excitement. We'll see what happens.
I've just had the feeling that if I really was letting God think through me, it would be a heck of a lot more simple and not like a long labor and difficult delivery and all that stuff, but it'd be more simple and direct and in that powerful. So and keeping that in consciousness for it to happen.
Well, I could say that it's easy for me to name the things that I need to let go of, but what are the words of God that need to be spoken now so that life can live? And what came to me strongly was, I am in the right place with the right people in the right circumstance, and I've got something brilliant to bring. And even though I may not know exactly what it will be, to stop thinking if the circumstances changed, then life could live, then love could be present, then the urge could move through. No, I am the right person in the right place with the right people in the right circumstance, and I have the adequate brilliance that needs to be shared. And when it's shared from the position of being a sovereign and being in love, it is a balm to this world. And it is so needed in these times of people expressing their fragmented, disconnected, dying thoughts. So as we are all together tonight, this evening and this morning in some parts of the world, you are in the right place with the right people, and you are the right person to deliver the goods, not just your goods, but the goods of the universe that need to be birthed into the situation where you are present. Because if you just look around and then look into this computer, your computer, this is your world, and your world sorely needs your brilliance. I am starving for it, and I hope you enjoy mine when I share it, because together we're a potent force. Amen, amen, amen. So thank you all for playing along. It's wonderful to be with you.
Yeah.
In this place, on this day, in this moment, on this computer.
Thank you, Kiahi, too.
So much, Kiahi.
Love to all.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Love you. Miss you.
I miss you guys too.
Bye. Thank you. Love you all.
We're not isolated. We're connected. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.